It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Got a good show lined up for you today. And today is a day where we just want to kind of shoot the bull today. That's what we're going to do. Wayne Johnson's going to join us here in a little bit. He's the current point leader with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Championship Tour. So we'll talk to Wayne about his big win down at Creek County last weekend. Austin, how are you doing, my friend? You doing all right? Is things going good for you today?
Something must be wrong because I'm wearing a Pavement Late Model t-shirt.
Whose shirt are you wearing?
I went to Nashville last year, and they had a bunch of shirts on sale. That's when I do my shopping.
You don't even know whose shirt it is?
It's a Lebanon Speedway, like Labor Day special. I only own like two Pavement shirts, and I guess this is one of them.
Is your dad? Do you have one of your dad's old shirts?
No.
You don't?
No.
I'm surprised that you wouldn't have one of your dad's old shirts. He sold a lot of shirts back in the day.
Never kept any of them. Nope.
The old Price Chopper car. And, oh, man, was he good in his day. Listen, I want to I don't know where to start today, to be honest with you. Let's talk a little bit about Dale Jr.'s download and the interview that he did with Jeremy Mayfield. You haven't watched much of it, though, have you?
No, but you and I have watched the same part in the same clip that we found on YouTube.
Yeah.
So it's usually about an hour and a half, 2 hour long interview. We've listened to 20 minutes of it.
Right. That's about as much as I've listened to it. So how long is that interview?
They're usually about an hour and a half. I'll pull up and get the exact time. Because it just, sometimes it might be an hour, sometimes it might be 2 hours or over that.
It just depends on the flow of the show, right?
Yeah, and you know, Junior brings on his guests to tell stories that he and learn things that Junior doesn't know. And whenever Junior's done, Junior's done. So
let me just tell you, I know Mike Davis pretty good.
It's 2 hours and 39 minutes long.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
So there was a lot of questions asked during that show.
Well, they also, like, they start the show off, they have an open segment, kind of like how we do it, and then they go into a couple other segments, and the guest comes on. He's probably on for an hour and 45 or so minutes, and they come out of the guest, and they have a couple segments to wrap the show up. But, yeah, I mean, I bet you, when we get down and listen to it, I bet you Jeremy Mayfield talked for about an hour and 45 to 2 hours.
Yeah. I want to say, hey, to Paul, he's listening up there at Skagit Speedway. Tammy checking in from Pennsylvania. We want to welcome you guys to the show. Caleb, Russell as well. So when you look at Jeremy Mayfield, gosh, I'm going to go down a road that I probably shouldn't go down, but I'm going down the road because that's what we do here on Mostly Motorsports. When you look at Jeremy Mayfield, do you look at him as a guy that was hooked on meth at some point? When you see him, you can slide your mic over there. You can probably talk at the same time. What do you think? When you look at Jeremy Mayfield, does he look like a guy that was on meth to you?
To me?
No.
Not really.
No.
I mean, he actually looks pretty clean.
Well, I think he's got his stuff together now, right?
Yeah.
But
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you look at the picture I got up of here of him, he looks like a decent human being.
Well, his teeth aren't all falling out.
He has some nice teeth. I'll give him that.
He probably had enough money to pay for his teeth to stay in.
Oh, probably.
Right. So we don't want to run too much of this because we don't want to get in trouble. There's Mike Davis, good friend of the Racing Boys. We've known him back in the day when he was the PR guy for Jimmy Spencer with Yellow Transportation back in the day. We hung out with him for a couple days. He's a really good guy. We hope to get him on the show at some time in the future. But I'll just say this. You know, you never know who's on that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said this earlier. You know, I was born in 1960. That's a long time ago there, isn't it, bud? 60?
It's quite some years ago.
That's a few years ago. 62 years ago, I was born. And I was raised in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So let me just say, I was not an angel growing up. I hung around with some hoodlums, just so you know, back in the day. And, you know, when I got married, I was about 28, 29 years old. I decided that was the end of my mischief. I was done with it. I wasn't going to participate in any of it anymore because I had a child on the way and I didn't want to be associated with a bunch of hoodlums. Actually, I hate to call my friends hoodlums, but that's what we were. We were a bunch of just rowdy rednecks. That's all we were. And, you know, I run into some of my friends now. Gosh, and I'm going down a road. I don't even know why I'm going down this road. But I run into some of my friends now that I grew up with back in the day. And they never stopped, right? They just continued to party like a party animal for a long, long time. And, you know, I run into those guys now, and they look 15 years older than I do because of that stuff. And all I can say is to people that are out there that are participating in that kind of activity, just park yourself. Just throw it up into neutral and get out of it, right, if you can. I just had a friend, and I'm going to say this. I just had a friend of mine who was a very successful realtor. I mean, ultra successful, right? Made really good money. Made a lot of good money. But all of a sudden, when he was about, I don't know, he probably had to be about 45 years old, 50 years old, he decided he's going to get on the stuff, right? And I just found out here just recently that he died because of that stuff. Now, why am I talking about this? I don't know. But I could tell you this. I just hope that everybody out there has a nice, clean, livable life and doesn't participate in that kind of stuff because it's only bad for you. And I'm only bringing this up because I just found out about a friend of mine that just passed away because of it. It's no good for you. Don't do it. Please. Please, please don't do it. All right? So I'm not gonna go off on the deep end there too much. Did I go too far already, Austin? Have I went too far?
No, because that just it's kind of relevant to our Jeremy Mayfield talk. So right. I think we're still doing all right.
I think Jeremy Mayfield had a real problem.
You know, we haven't listened to all of the interview yet, but from this clip that we watched that anybody else can go watch on YouTube or Facebook or any Dirty Mo Media's, you know, social media platforms.
Right.
It doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up, and right. I'll kind of touch on it, but, you know, he was raided at his house.
Right.
And the raid was looking for a plate of steel. Why would FBI, you know, personnel and
that was their excuse
and SWAT teams show up to raid your house for a stolen piece
of steel,
of like steel,
flat piece of steel is what he said.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, then he talks about having a guy that would, you know, come and sell him or try and sell him stuff, you know, who's kind of a shady character, and he believes that, you know, that he was kind of
he befriended him.
Yeah, yeah, and either set him up or I don't know if it's just the way Jeremy tells the story or how it actually went down, but it doesn't add up.
Well, it that just explains a lot. When you bring in somebody that's a shady deal. See, what he was buying stolen goods from the guy, right?
Well, he bought a speaker, and
it was an auctioneer speaker.
It was an auctioneer speaker, right. And he wasn't told that it was stolen, and then come to find out, he was charged for being in possession of stolen goods, which he bought from, I believe, that auction or that guy that was hanging around
right,
him.
Right.
And he stole it.
Yeah. Well, I listen, I'm with you. I don't think it all adds up. I think that he's talking in circles a little bit.
Yeah, because if you listen to it, you know, he'll start talking about, you know, when they came in and raided his house or whatever, and then he'll start talking about another experience, you know, at his lane, and then Junior and Mike at the ring are kind of back to his main point, and I don't know, either he's
you know,
I can't come to conclusion yet because I haven't listened to the whole interview.
You know what?
But either he's trying to, like, you know, hide it up, or it's just the way he talks. Yeah, I'm just the way he talks. I don't know.
He talks like a meth head.
I mean, he gets a little loose sometimes.
No, I'm just saying, he just talks like somebody that's been cracked out a little bit. You know, have you ever talked to anybody that's been on that shit for a long time? You ever talked to anybody, Austin, like that?
No.
I have. And that's the way they talk. They talk in riddles. They don't talk in reality. The life is not reality to them. It's all about the next, I guess, fix or whatever they do. But thank God that I wised up back in the 80s. I'm so thankful for that. And I got to thank my ex-wife, Sharon, for bringing me out of the gutter a little bit, to say the least. You know Tim Richmond? Do you remember Tim Richmond?
That was way, way before my time, but I know who.
He died in 89. 89, right, Kirk? He died in 89. Tim Richmond didn't he? August of 89, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim Richmond was one of those kind of flamboyant kind of guys. And, you know, the rumor was that he was on the stuff. I think he was on coke. But I think that he was one of those guys that footloose, fancy free, wanted to run around with a bunch of women that were ladies of the night, may I say. You know what that means?
I do.
Ladies of the night. And he was one of those flamboyant guys. Maybe, just maybe, he might have been one of the most talented race car drivers that ever drove a cup car.
And he drove cup cars back in the day when you had to drive a cup car.
Right.
When they were
bias ply tires.
When it was back in the 80s and there were, you know, the Monte Carlos, the Buicks, and the Thunderbirds, you know, back when it was a real race car.
He won a race when he had AIDS.
Yes, Pocono.
Isn't that right?
Pocono.
It's a Pocono?
The last race he ever won.
Yeah. And he was a guy that could win 6 or 7 races in a year like nothing, right? He was so talented, but he chose the bad road to go down, right? He didn't want to live the straight and narrow life. That was not Tim Richmond. He was more about hanging out with the hoodlums in life. You know, I had a friend of mine one time. I won't mention his name. He's deceased now. He said that he was around Tim Richmond one time, and they were running a late model at a race. He said Tim Richmond, he was a little bit off the pace and whatnot. And he said Tim went into his motorhome. He came back out. He said it was obvious he went in there and did something. Because he came back out, and he was all tweaked up, and he went out, and he set fast time. Let's don't do that. Let's not recommend that people do that, right? We don't want to see people out. We don't want to see race car drivers out there running on a racetrack, right? Here, Chad right there said Tyler Walker could have been the greatest sprint car driver ever if not for drugs. There's a lot of truth in that too, right?
Valid point.
Yeah. How about, do I even say it, Kenny Weld? You know, he got busted. Yeah. He got busted for drugs.
But also,
right?
Kenny was involved with Gary Ballou and doing the drug runs. So it was Ballou and Kenny, you know, back on the East Coast running the Super Modifieds, doing the drug runs. And, I mean, they made a lot of money doing it, but not the wisest choice in their business decisions.
You know, I think some of it is the temptation of the money that's involved with it, right?
Of course.
If you can get paper bags. And I'll tell you this, when they built the Orgasmic-tron, you know what car I'm talking about, right? The blue car, the Batmobile,
yeah.
Right? When they built that car, this friend of mine was there, and he said, I can't tell you how many times Kenny would walk in with a paper bag full of cash.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Yeah. I don't know.
But also, too,
yeah.
Speaking of Kenny, you know, nobody wants to go to jail, right? Not something you want to do.
Definitely don't want to go to jail.
But
I'm not going to do anything to go to jail.
No, but it kind of, I don't want to say it benefited Kenny, because Kenny lost everything, but, you know, during his time in jail, he was able to write, you know, a code and build a machine.
CNC machine.
His CNC machines for his cylinder heads for engines. Was it cylinder heads or was it something?
Cylinder heads.
Yeah, it was cylinder heads.
Right.
So, I mean, it just shows how smart the guy was, and
he was a genius.
I mean,
but he wasted it all.
He did,
right? Well, I know for a fact that I've raced with some guys that are been geeked up before they get out there and race. Back in the day, in fact, I've been in the pits and I've smelt pot in the pits before a guy races. And it was the guy pitted right next to me. I won't mention his name.
Funny you say that.
You ever had that sensation? Anybody do that? You ever? Yeah.
You won't like who it is.
Well, you don't have.
I can't tell you.
No, you know, you can tell me off the air, but you can not on there. We don't want to talk about that on the air because we don't want to get anybody in any trouble. But yeah. You know, Russell said, I believe Jeremy was in the middle of renewing his contract with Penske. You know what? I don't remember that, to be honest with you. I don't remember if he was or not. But, and Pete brings up a good point here. And think about this for a second, right? I raced with a guy out at I-70 Speedway. Pete says, how many are drinking alcohol before they race? I bet you there's a few of them. There was a guy I raced with out at I-70 Speedway in the modified division, and they come out and did a sobriety test on him before he raced, and I don't think he passed it. But why would anybody try to free their mind before they go out there and race on a racetrack? I don't get it.
I
just don't understand it.
You know, the only way I would see any of, you know, activity like that, drugs or alcohol,
right,
would be on your, like...
And you've never drank alcohol.
No.
Right.
That would be on your, like, backwoods, most grassroots level of hillbilly racing you could probably find. I don't know. I might be wrong. But I wouldn't think you'd see any of that kind of around where we race. I mean, definitely not in sprint car racing, but...
Well,
I bet you get out to like the south, and you're out in the middle of the woods racing. I bet you see some interesting things.
Tyler Walker,
he's
a great example.
Yeah,
right. I remember seeing him before the Knoxville Nationals one time. He couldn't sit still. It was crazy how jacked up he was. He couldn't even look at anybody in the face. He was sitting on the ambulance of a bumper of the ambulance. And he had his face looking at the ground, and he was just going, man.
Mm.
And there was a lot of people that noticed it that night, too. Do you owe it to the other racers, if you know somebody is messed up on something, to go to the officials and be a rat?
Yeah, your life's
at stake.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean... And any type of racing, you mean you can get killed in anything.
Right.
And if you know it's preventable, you're just going to be that sense of regret and grief.
Yeah.
That you'll never get back.
Right, right. Ethan says, back to yesterday because I couldn't watch live. I believe JG saying Keith calling him a cheater to do with sprint car racing, tire doping situation. What is that? Do you understand that?
Yeah, remember at Ocala when teams got bested for tire dope?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I believe Justin was one of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but me personally, I've cheated when I've raced.
Everybody's cheated.
Everybody has done it, right?
You're supposed to.
If you're not trying to... outdo the next guy, you're not really doing your job, right? But, you know, finding the gray area and cheating, there's two different philosophies behind that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't just go up there and just flat, you know, blow through the rule book. But if you can find a little gray area spot you can work your way into, yeah, that's what the rules are built for. You know,
I told you.
Just ask Nick Hoffman. The UMP rule book is built around Nick Hoffman and Nick Hoffman only.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, there was a gray area in our rules back in the day when I used to put dry ice in my fuel. There was no rule in the book that said what your fuel temperature had to be. But
exactly.
Once they found out that everybody was doing it, then they put room temperature on the fuel.
Yeah, I mean that's the point. That's our job. And look at any other. You know, there was an interview done with Jeff Gordon and Ray Everham years ago, talking about, you know, going to Daytona for Speed Week, and I can't remember what the question was asked to Jeff, but it was like under the lines of do you think, you know, Ray ever got you in a position of cheating or ever got you in a bad position? And he's like, well, isn't that his job? I mean, he's supposed to.
That's
push
what
the
he's supposed to do.
Yeah, he's the crew chief. He's supposed to, you know, bend the rules and push the gray area to get, you know, the maximum performance out of a car.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, there you have it. That's our opening for the show. Didn't mean to bring everybody down talking about all that, but it's just a matter of we just don't want to see anybody get hurt out there on the racetrack, right? That's what it boils down to. We don't want to see anybody impaired racing a race car on the racetrack with other drivers that are not impaired and put those people in jeopardy. That's the moral to that story right there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to visit with the current point leader with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. Wayne Johnson joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding mucus fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Mucus fuel treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. We're attempting to try to get a hold of Wayne Johnson. Boy, frustrating when you try to get a hold of somebody and they don't answer their phone. We're going to continue to try to get a hold of Wayne. You know, Kirk brought up a person. You know, we were on our topic that we just had here a minute ago. You know, I raced with a guy back in the day in the sportsman division out at Lakeside Speedway, and he ended up being a late model driver out at I-70 Speedway. Him and his two brothers, they got busted, and they got busted for murder. Murder! And it's no secret who that person is. That's Steve Vest. Steve Vest was a very good race car driver. By the way, really good race car driver. And they had a meeting. Ted Carlson, who purchased Lakeside and I-70 Speedway. Here's Wayne calling me right now. If you guys want to try to answer, Wayne, we are trying to call you on the air.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
All right, he's calling you right now. All right, there. All right, so Wayne, he said, I'm so sorry, man. So anyway, we'll have Wayne on here in a second. But anyway, Steve Vest and his brothers, they were cocaine dealers. And a couple drug runners brought a couple kilos of cocaine to Kansas City, and him and his brothers murdered the drug runners. And those guys ended up spending life in prison right now. They're in life in prison right now for murder because of the greed and the money that goes behind being a drug dealer. It's just not, I just hate it. You know, when you see somebody with that much talent, Kirk is so loud. I can hear him all the way through my microphone. He talks so loud on the phone. So, anyway, all right, well, let's go to the phone right now and bring on the current point leader with Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, Wayne Johnson. Wayne, how you doing, brother?
Not too bad, Scott. I apologize to you guys.
That's
I completely forgot. I am so covered up around the shop. I've just got a lot going on, and I apologize for missing the call. Sorry.
Hey, man, no big deal at all, my friend. We appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show. How about your win last weekend at Creek, man? That was pretty big for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I hadn't been there 4 or 5 years, and we're experimenting with a few things, trying to get better with our car and some new products that are out, and just thought it would be a good weekend to go try and see how we get around that place, just like I say, because we haven't been there in so long. And
yeah,
it worked out pretty good because all the old notes that I had still worked pretty good for that place.
All right, so we're going to get into it. That was a new car that you took to Creek, right?
Yes.
And you're talking about experimenting. Can we get inside your space a little bit and give us an idea what you were trying to accomplish experimenting with this new car?
Well, I mean, I can't let the hat out of the bag.
Right.
You know, that's how I'm trying to get an edge, you know, so I don't want everybody to know what I'm doing. But
yeah,
just trying some new products and new parts that's out there in the market that some guys are already doing, and just, you know, didn't know how it was going to react and learned a lot. Still think we could be much better. So, you know, it's going to be a deal where I won't run that stuff and at any national race just yet until I feel like we've really got it figured out, because I still think we're still a little off with it, honestly.
Yeah. So, Wayne, how hard is it for you as a guy that's been around this game a long, long time, man? You've done it all, right? How hard is it for you to venture out of your box and try some additional components maybe that you haven't tried before? Is it tough for you to do that sometimes?
Well, it is, because honestly, you know, through the years past, the stuff that I've used has worked really well, and I feel like we've been competitive everywhere, you know, and just felt like, you know, didn't need to do these things. Well, when you go get your ass beat every week with the Outlaws and you see these guys doing different things, then it's thinking outside the box and wanting to be better. I mean, I always want to be better, but I just felt like before our package was really good. So it was just time to start trying some different things. And you know, these young fellas are making it hard on this old guy, so I'm trying to get some advantages.
Yeah. Wayne, I know we spoke about it before, but I want to go back, because originally you were going to just try to run an Outlaw schedule and just do whatever you wanted to do. But for whatever reason, you and Todd figured out that you had a really good chance of maybe contending for this championship with Luxol ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. Take us through that mindset and when you changed your mind to go and run for the points with the National Tour.
Well, really and truly, after going to Devil's Bowl, and I know we won the first race and was leading the points and all that stuff, but more than anything, the format has really changed our mind, because the draw really dictated a lot of things years past.
Yep.
And with the way they're doing it now, you know, the driver kind of has his own fate in his hand, just like, you know, at an Outlaw show or All-Star show or Knoxville with qualifying.
Yep.
And I actually think the way that Terry's doing this, it's better than an Outlaw show or Knoxville, the way that, you know, that you still get passing points and qualifying points. So really and truly, that was the biggest factor. And, you know, his schedules through the Midwest, not dragging me all the way to the West Coast or the East Coast or whatever. And, you know, I'm wanting to slow down and you know, just like now, we've got a little time off and for a week or two, and then back on, you know, back with the schedule in a week or two. So, you know, there's multiple things that played into it. You know, with the schedule the way it is, I only need one full-time guy, where, you know, before I had three full-time guys, and our payroll was really, really up there. It cost a lot of money to have three full-time guys. So there was a lot of things that played into it, but more than anything, honestly, I think it was a format for me anyway.
Yeah. Wayne, do you think, because you've been qualifying with the Outlaws and running the 410, do you think qualifying is kind of in your wheelhouse? Do you think you might have a little bit of an advantage over some of the other guys that haven't been qualifying for the last few years?
You know, maybe a little bit, but honestly, you know, I've never been a great qualifier anyway. So, you know, and I think that stems back from ASCS. You know, every race you get, every lap you got a race, you know, from the draw and that thing. So, but maybe a little bit, Scott, but I really just think that it sets your fate, you know, with qualifying. And I think that if you got a good package, no matter what, you should be able to make decent laughs. But I'm sure it helps a bit.
Yeah. I know last weekend was a pretty emotional win for you. I know that you talked about Mickey Walker, and it was the Mickey Walker Classic at Creek last weekend. Your relationship with him, you said you knew him since he was a little kid, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, when I started racing with ASCS and, you know, with the 360 group, you know, we raced at Creek County every Sunday night. Well, Kenneth Walker was, you know, the track champion there a couple of times. And, you know, I raced with Kenneth a lot. And then back in the Tulsa Speedway days, you know, we raced quite a bit over there, and Kenneth raced over there. So I've known the family my whole racing career. I mean, since probably 15 years old, and, you know, and Kenneth wasn't much older than me. And then the next thing you know, we all started having kids and everything. So, yeah, I knew Mickey from day one, and just, you know, he loved our sport as much as I do, I could say, or as most any racer, and was becoming a pretty damn good little racer himself. And, you know, it's just a shame that, you know, I'm you got kids too.
Yep.
And you know, it's just a shame that a parent has to go through what the Walkers have went through, and I really feel for them. So that's you know, it's a tough deal.
How's Paige doing?
Paige is awesome. Paige is dancing full time, and she'll be, actually, I'll get her on Friday for the summer. So looking forward to seeing her soon.
You know, it seemed like to me, and I'm getting a little off topic because this is mostly motorsports, so we can get off topic a little bit, but it always seems like that you and Paige have always had a special relationship between the two of you. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, you got daughters, and I think your bond with your girls are pretty stout. And but me and her have been really tight. You know, I don't know it, but you know, at a little age, or a young age, you know, she was homeschooled, and they would do homeschool in the morning, and she was out of school by noon, and from noon to whenever Dad came in from the shop, you know, she spent her days in the shop with Dad working, and this, that, and the other. So I mean, it's just you know, I don't even know. You know, I just. My girls, I'm close with my girls, you know, and
yeah, for
sure. I don't know. They always say that I was really close with my mother, so I don't know. Girls are closer with their dad, and then the boys are closer to their moms. I'm not sure, but it kind of seemed to work that way with me.
Yeah, and she at one time wanted to be a race car driver. What happened with that?
Yeah, well, I think you knew we got a car and did all that stuff,
right?
And she changed her mind after we went and did some testing. She never raced it. We did some testing, and honestly, a brag on her, because we went to Shawnee and to Clint's track there in the indoor, and he let us have the track one afternoon before there was a big race on the weekend, and she was under the track record and never drove.
Wow.
For that division or whatever, and then we were on our way to the race that Saturday or Sunday or whatever it was, and we were halfway to Shawnee, and she says, "Dad, I don't think I want to do this." And that was it.
Man, oh, man. How disappointed were you when that happened?
You know, I was disappointed, but, you know, I would never push my kids to do anything they don't want to do. And it just was a situation that you know, it's just like anything. You don't want somebody telling you to do something you don't really want to do. So
yeah.
It was tough. I'm not gonna lie, but it was okay, because I know how girls in our sport really get a bad rap anyway. So
they do, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, it's unfortunate, because I know some damn good girl or women racers. You know, Stephanie Chappell was pretty damn good back in her day, and then,
yeah, for sure.
You know, Jessica Zimkin and you know, there's quite a few. But yeah, there's some pretty good girl racers out there, let me tell you.
We're visiting with Wayne Johnson. He's the current point leader with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. He's got a 31-point lead over Dylan Westbrook, and he's ahead of the current defending national champion, Blake Hahn, by 43 points, 57 points. You know, I'm pretty surprised by Jason Martin and his success running with the national tour so far. Are you?
No, not at all. You know, Jason's I don't know if he's a World of Outlaw Rookie of the Year, or I don't know if he got beat, but I know he had been out on the Outlaw Trail a couple of years there, and Jason's a good racer. It's just right now, I think a bit one of his biggest deals is going to a lot of racetracks that he's never been to.
Yeah.
And once he gets some notes in his book about how these places are, how they race, and get his car a little better every time, I think towards the end of the year when we start going back to these places the second time or third time or whatever, you'll start seeing Jason a lot more competitive. But he's been pretty good so far. I think he's only going to get tougher.
Yeah, let's talk about the race last weekend down there at Creek. Just kind of run us through that race. I know that Matt Covington was second and Brandon Anderson was third. Kind of run us through that race last weekend.
You know, it was normal Creek County for me. I mean, they've changed the track up a bit, but it's just the same old Creek County, I should say. You know, Blake was missing on Saturday, so
yeah,
that took, you know, I mean, I knew going in that Blake and Covington and Brandon would be the guys probably to beat there, but I hadn't been there in so long, I didn't know if we had any new guys that are kind of had stepped up their program and got much better or not, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But no, I mean, and it really, I went there to win the race, don't get me wrong, but we were going to try to learn what our new cars and new parts were capable of, and I felt like we did that.
Right. You can never count out Sean McClellan there as well. That he always gets around Creek County really well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, you know, and I'm good friends with Sean, you know, there's another one, you know, his dad passed away a couple of weeks ago and got to chat with him for a good while. And, you know, McClellan's were, you know, that was a Tulsa name for a long time and has been. And,
yeah.
And I know that their dad is the one that kind of started that whole thing. So it was pretty sad to hear him pass.
Yeah. I think his brother, Brian, has a pretty good racer. His son's a pretty good racer as well, I think.
You know, I don't know. I haven't, you know, I've been so busy the last couple of years traveling up down the road.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to keep up with a lot of them, to be honest.
Yeah. Wayne, what do you think about where you're at now in your career? Do you ever look at the light at the end of the tunnel and think, all right, how long am I going to do this? Do you ever think like that, or are you just going to keep on grinding for a while?
You know, me and Todd have always said that we're going to do this as long as we can and have fun at it. And he, you know, he still wants to keep doing it. So
yeah,
I guess as long as he keeps doing it and wants to keep paying me, I'll do it. I can honestly say that I'll probably never drive for another car owner, you know, full time. Todd's been really good to me, and we've kind of made a commitment that when he's done, I'm done. So,
yeah.
But evidently he's not done. I guess I'm not done. I'm definitely enjoying the slowing down part of it. The Outlaws was such a grind. You know, Scott, there was 3.5 months last year that I was never home. So, you know, right. That all makes a big difference on how I want to keep racing or don't want to keep racing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, you know, Wayne, when you find somebody like Todd that wants to keep investing in a driver like yourself, man, those opportunities don't come along very often, do they?
No, that's right. You know, and he is, I mean, not only is he my car owner, you know, he's my best friend, and we do a lot of stuff together. He does a lot of stuff for me, does a lot of stuff for my family, and vice versa, and just became a better relationship. You know, I've known Todd for 30 years, but, you know, we've been racing together now for about 12, I think, and just became way better friends. And you know, he don't want to race with anybody else, and I don't want to race with anybody else. We have a ball doing it. I just wish that he's got to go a lot more, and I think he's going to get to start doing that because he's retiring. So,
oh, wow. Cool. How about that? Wayne, when it comes to having a car owner like Todd, when it comes down to expense-wise, when you guys sit there and talked about going running with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour, do you have to put a pencil to it and say, listen, it doesn't make much sense running up and down the road with the Outlaws. It makes more sense to run with the National Tour. Tell us that process, how you and Todd figured out this is what you're going to do and this is why you're going to do it.
Well, it really wasn't anything to do with the financial part of it or anything.
Yeah.
It's just I really wanted to slow down, honestly. And like I said before, I mean, heck, for the last year and a half or 2 years, I didn't even need a home. You know, you got a house sitting there and you're paying bills and it's not being used. It's pretty ridiculous. But, you know, unfortunately, I'm 50 years old, was out there trying to do the outlaw deal, and I would have much rather been 25 and trying that. But really, there was no issue as far as we never put a pencil to anything. We just decided that I decided I wanted to slow down and started taking it a little bit easier, and he was okay with it. And we just sit down, and like I say, we were just going, our schedule was just our plan was just to go and have fun and go wherever we wanted to go and do what we wanted to do. But, you know, then we got to run with the ASCS there at Devil's Bowl and learned that their format was changed and that kind of thing. And that kind of really was the deciding factor, honestly, and the schedule, you know, the schedule is really light compared to what it's been past.
Right.
You know, I've done this thing for years. You've done it for years. And, you know, there were times with that schedule we didn't get to go home either. So, it was, you know, it was all basically the same thing as an outlaw schedule, you know, just a little bit scaled down, not quite as many races, but being away from home and all that stuff. I guess as you get older, you're not going up down the road anymore either. So, you know exactly what, you know, this home life's pretty good.
You know what I don't miss? I don't miss the grind of traveling up and down the road. I miss doing the broadcast. I miss the people that I was out there and met over the years of traveling up and down the road. I was out there for 13 years. You know, I miss the people more than anything. And that's the hardest thing to disconnect from, isn't it? The people that you meet along the way.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I tell Sarah all the time, when I'm home, I miss the road, but when I'm on the road, I miss home. So it's a catch 22. It's crazy. And it's something I'm having to go through right now through my life to try to figure out and make a balance of what makes the most sense and makes me the happiest.
Yeah. Well, Wayne, are you planning on running any 410 races this year? Are you going to get a dose of those in this year?
Well, we still are going to run a few races, but we're definitely not going to run as many as we had planned. Just like this next weekend, there's a power ideal at Lake of the Ozarks, and we were planning on going to that, and then I've just decided we're not going. We're going to take the weekend off. That way we can, you know, regroup a little bit and be ready for the ASCS show starting the next week, and then, you know, Speed Week's coming up and all that. And like I say, it's just been a pretty big process of just trying to switch gears and trying to get a little more prepared to do this thing, because we really wasn't prepared to do any full-time series. So we're just trying to get back prepared to do that.
You know, that 50 grand would be nice to put in the pocket at the end of the year, wouldn't it?
No, for sure. And that's really, I mean, that's a big deciding factor of it also is, you know, that's really Todd's spiel to me is, you know, that 50 grand would look pretty good in your bank account at the end of the year. And I was like, you know what, you're probably pretty right there. So let's just try to just go ahead and do this.
Yeah. How's Sarah doing?
Oh, everybody's great. Yep, great.
You make sure you tell her I said hi. I haven't seen her in a long, long time. And she listen, all I'm going to say is you're a lucky man. That's all I'm going to say.
I think it's the other way around, but I'll tell her that for sure.
All right, Wayne. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here. We're going to touch base with you from time to time during the season because I know you're going to win some more races. We appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show today, and good luck to you down the road, my friend.
Yes, sir, Scott. And like I said, I want to apologize again because I really forgot, to be honest with you, and I've just got so much going on that I dropped the ball, and I'll try not to let that happen again.
You don't worry about it, my friend. I appreciate you taking the time as you did. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you guys soon.
All right, there you have it. Wayne Johnson, join us. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. What'd you think of that, Austin? Oh, our boy Wayne Johnson leading the points right now. You think all right, so I'm going to kind of put you in a spot here. You're going to have an opinion, all right, Austin? Because you're so smart. Who do you think's going to win the championship?
That's good. Good question.
Right now, Wayne Johnson, Dylan Westbrook, Blake Kahn, Jason Martin.
All right, I got it.
All right, go ahead. Who's going to win?
Whoever has the most points at the end of the year.
Oh, you are such a... Why you got to be like that? You're so smart. You were just telling me how smart you were, and you can't pick... Come on. Have some balls and pick a winner.
You can't.
Why?
You can't do that when the top five is within, you know, between first and fifth, it's 78 points.
I know you that, but
you can't pick.
You can have an opinion who you think might be the winner. Don't be scared. Who do you think? Let me change it up for you a little bit. Who do you think it comes down to? Who's the three drivers you think it comes down to? So there, you're not on the spot. You don't have to pick one driver. You can pick three drivers. Who's it going to come down to?
I'll say Wayne, Blake, Dylan Westbrook.
I'm with you. I'm on the same page as you. See, I'm as smart as you.
And I'll throw in an extra one. Just keep an eye on him.
Who?
Jason Martin. That's it.
If I was going to throw in a fourth driver, I'd pick Matt Covington. Matt is really good. He's been out on the tour. He's a seasoned veteran. I think that Matt leapfrogs Jason and Garrett Williamson.
Well,
and he's up
you won't
worry
about Garrett. Garrett will take care of himself at some point this year.
Yeah, well, unfortunately. Yeah. See there, how about that? That was a strong opinion. I like it when you do that.
That's the truth. I'm sorry, Garrett, but you've torn a lot of stuff up. He's kind of calmed down this year. I'll give him that. He's calmed down a little bit.
I'll give you this about Garrett. He's not afraid to stand on it.
No, he's not.
I mean, and, he will go for it.
You know, he's lucky that he has Paver behind him because, you know, there's times it'll work and there's times that it doesn't. And to have somebody that can take those blows is it's good and good in shaping a driver. But I might be wrong. Garrett could turn the switch around and come out here and be in the top three by the end of the season. But
There's no doubt he's fast enough.
Yeah, I mean, you don't.
He's just got to be consistent enough.
You don't go to Knoxville and run third and you know not have your act together.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. How about we've got the All-Star Speed Week coming up here pretty quick too. That starts on the 10th, doesn't it? I believe it is. They run at Attica, Fremont. Well, they run there two nights, don't they, at Fremont?
Yes, two nights at Fremont, Wayne County, Sharon. Atomic, Waynesfield, Lima Land, Portsmouth.
And that's the last one. Portsmouth's the last one. What are you excited about watching those races?
Ohio Speed Week's pretty good. It's usually produces good racing. It's just kind of typical Ohio racing where it's a dust bowl. I bet you Attica's going to be dusty. I did see last week that they finally got a new water truck and it actually watered the track before a hot lap. So
right.
Attica might be good. It might not be good. We'll find out on June 10th. Fremont is usually pretty good. Wayne County is going to be a dust bowl. Sharon's going to be a dust bowl. Atomic will be a dust bowl. Waynesfield, too. Lima Land will be pretty good. And Portsmouth will be good. So
all right,
we'll see how it goes.
And those are the opinions of Austin O'Neill, just so you know. You know, Cole Duncan picked up that win the other night at Atomic. But that Travis Philo, how they pronounce his name, Philo,
yeah.
Right? It looks like Philo, but it's Philo. I felt so bad for Travis Philo when he lost that race coming down to the start-finish line. I mean, the guy was leading the race. How many cautions did they have there at the end of that race? Probably three or four cautions where they had three laps to go. And the guy was going to win his first All-Star race, and then Cole Duncan went around him on the last lap coming off of turn four.
Cole's been pretty good. He's been with a new team here in the last year or two, and they've really got a good baseline together when the track gets really dusty and slick. It's typical all Ohio tracks, but he's really good at Wayne County. maybe it's Wayne's Field. It's one of the two. One of the Wayne tracks he's really good at. And I was not surprised to see him pick up the win. He's kind of like one of those, you know, drivers you don't – he's not in the spotlight, but, you know, he'll be there at the end of the race. And he's kind of looked over half the time, but he's, I guess you can kind of call him an underdog.
So let's how many people did blew out right rear tires? Did Schoenberg blow out one? I think he did. Parker Price Miller did, didn't he? Chris Windham, didn't he blow a right rear?
I was racing that night, so I didn't get to watch. I just know how it
I
ended.
I think Zeb Wise, Corey Eliason did. Just the surface wasn't that good there that night. Just wasn't that good. And they cut the laps, right? I think they cut those laps at the end of that race, if I'm not mistaken. So, I think it was supposed to be a 40-lap feature, but I think they cut it to 30, if I'm not mistaken. And Philo, he said that they should have cut it to
20.
To 20 because of the tire consumption they went through.
Tire shortage. And we're racing on...
on rubbered-up racetracks.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, right now, Tyler Courtney is the point leader, and he has got, I don't know what that is, about a 21-point lead over Justin Peck, I think it is, something like that. So, anyway. All right, Austin, what do you got to do today on your car? What do you got to do?
Tires.
Tires,
tires,
your
tires,
favorite
tires.
Thing to do.
Yeah, if anybody's out there looking for a medium with 20 laps on it, I got one. I don't want any low balls on it. I can't tell you the condition of the tire. It's good. It's really good.
I got one. I can't tell you what it looks like.
I mean, it's. I know what I have. I know what I have. It's good. I'll sell it to you. Only has 20 laps on it.
All right, so get a hold of Austin O'Neill through his Facebook page or Twitter, whatever you need to do. All right, we want to thank everybody for tuning into the show again today. I'm not sure we're going to get Steve Post on tomorrow. He is going to be in flight tomorrow at some point. So we'll see if we get Steve Post on tomorrow. I'm not sure that's going to take place. So we'll find somebody to have on for sure. All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. Thanks so much. We appreciate everybody that always tunes in. Duncan is the master. When the track gets real slick, tires were popping like crazy that night. No, I'm with you, Tammy. That was just a, do I dare say it, it was kind of a shit show. I hated it. All those guys were blowing those right rear tires. This weekend, down at Lake Ozark Speedway, it's the first Power Eye 410 race. Austin, what do you think about that?
Let me pull the weather up. Make sure it's not going to rain.
Right. Well, I hope they get it all in. I hope they get the race in, because we haven't had a 410 race with Power Eye yet, have we?
No. It's not.
What's the weather?
All right. Today is partly cloudy with a 71% chance of, well, overnight, 71% chance of rain. Tomorrow's 50% chance of rain. Thursday, clear all day, and then 72% chance of rain in the evening. Thunderstorms on Friday, and 79 and sunny on Saturday.
So is Caleb right here, is that also the extreme versus the war down there this weekend too? I think extreme is running with war.
Yeah, it should be. Let me double check that.
Yeah, at the lake. So, the quick thumbs of Austin O'Neill on his phone. That guy can text faster than anybody I know.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday both. So I don't know what I want to do. I think I'm going to go to Knoxville and hang out and watch the World of Outlaws and watch you race up at Knoxville this weekend. You looking forward to it?
Yeah, it's not often I get to say I'm a support class for the Outlaws. So that's pretty cool to say. But no, we'll see. We'll see how we do. I got to qualify good. If I can qualify good, we'll be all right.
You're going to be just fine, my friend. You did good up there at I-80. I got a feeling you're going to do good up at Knoxville this weekend. All right, thanks again for everybody tuning into the show. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We also want to thank our guest Wayne Johnson for joining us on the show. good guy, known him a long time, and he's going to be right in the middle of that points championship with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow right here, 12 noon Central Time. It's Mostly Motorsports, and it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.